than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Now, before we even get into this, Josh, you're here with me. We're in the mobile studio, like the old days. A wrinkle has been put into this Apple Podcast issue we've been having. We got a tweet earlier this week from a listener who actually said, "I don't know what everybody's problems are. I've listened to every episode."
Yeah.
On the Apple Podcast app, no issues.
I did see that. It's quite interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what to
make
of
that. And I'm not an IT tech guy, so I don't know. I mean, I'm getting the shows.
Right.
I mean, I'm not using the podcast app. I just go directly, like when you send out the link, I just go to links.
Yeah.
And just pull it up and listen to it just because it's easy. And, So, I mean, I've yet to try the podcast app, so I don't know what everybody else is having. But that is great news for...
That somebody's getting them on that.
Yeah, exactly. So we appreciate that feedback.
Yeah, the knowing that it's going out there and people are listening, especially on the Apple Podcast app, I honestly am stumped. I have no idea what the issue is. I've looked into it on our end. I can't find an issue. The guy that we know that the server that we have, they're looking into it. They can't find anything. So really, so stumped. But anyway, let's talk about it. Ravens football. The Ravens were up against Indy on Monday night. You know, Josh, you think after week one, I would have learned my lesson.
Don't tell me you turned the game off.
I did not turn the game off.
I was going to say, if you did, I'm shutting this thing down right now.
My girlfriend and I, we were watching the game. We were at her place. We got some delicious Gil's pizza, double cheese.
I saw.
Ever in Baltimore.
I was trying to eat
Gil's.
It through the screen. It was so good.
It's the best. It is the best.
I have yet to get that, but I have to go to Gil's.
It is the first time that she's had it, because that's like a little place by my house. She's never had Gil's before. I think she even said best pizza in Baltimore. But Lamar fumbles the ball on the 1 yard line, and they run it back. Touchdown doesn't happen. Then it does happen, and I go, all right, no coming back from that.
Right.
And I leave. Listening to the game on the radio on the way home.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, they seem to be picking things up. We're doing all right. I get home, turn on the game, and then realize that Ravens are tying it up. They're doing their thing, and then we go to overtime, and they win the game. When am I going to learn to not leave early?
Exactly. So I did give a shout-out. I know some people did leave, and, hey, it's your prerogative, but I'm going to say blanket statement, right?
Right.
Unless they're losing 40-0 with 6 minutes left.
Right.
Look, for one, if you're going to go down to the game, there's no reason why you should leave early anyway.
Sure.
I mean, again, you do what you want. You know, just because I say that don't mean, you know, it's the end all be all. Like, I don't make the rules. But, like, I look at it this way. Like, if you're going to spend all that time and money and energy, like, I saw some people's comments, and I refrain from commenting just out of respect because, again, I don't want to start arguments on social media. But
sure.
It's the last thing I want to do. But, like, someone was, like, commented on one of our pictures, was like, well, I was surprised you didn't leave early to beat traffic, and almost commented, if you're going to leave early to beat traffic, then why the crap are you going to the game in
sure.
the first place? Like,
yeah.
And I deleted the comment, but I'm just going to blast them here. It's just like, look, like, that's just the way I feel. And again, somebody actually was like, oh, I bet, even my dad was like, well, I bet a lot of people left at halftime. You would think, or not halftime, but like, and I get it, right?
Right, sure.
Ravens are down 2 scores, weren't doing nothing. I get it. It's a late night. It's a
night game.
And I get it,
gotta
right?
Gotta go to work on Tuesday.
I don't fault anybody for that.
Sure.
It's your prerogative. But just for me, it's just like, look, you know, for somebody who loves the game day atmosphere, loves going to games, it's like, give that ticket up to somebody who can go and enjoy that. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's just like you miss moments like that. So it's like I'm actually happy it happened for the sake of the people who missed it.
Right.
But again, I'm not saying no ill will to that or you're wrong or right. Do what you want, bro. Like, guys, do what you want. If you want to leave early, great. If you want to shut the game off, go to sleep, great. If you end up falling asleep on purpose by accident, great. But you're going to miss something.
Right.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like, and it's just like someone even alluded to it, right? Well, people don't want to leave because they're waiting to see what Lamar can do next.
Yeah.
And, bro, I mean, I'm happy that a lot of people stayed. You'd be surprised. Fourth quarter overtime, it was loud. And I looked around. I mean, you've seen pockets of purple seats, but it wasn't like the place emptied out.
Right.
Like, two scores is two scores.
Yeah.
We got in the parking lot. We were speechless.
it was crazy.
I mean, everybody that I was around, I probably seen the whites in their eyes because we were just so bug-eyed. Like, what just happened? I'm going to tell you this right now. Just when we think Detroit can be topped, just when we think the end of the game against the Chiefs, just when we think how crazy the Monday Night Football, like you said, oh, wait, they scored a touchdown, you bolt out of there, and then you had to find out, like, oh, wait, it's not over. Like,
right.
It's not over till it's over. Let's just put a blanket statement out there. It's not over till it's over.
Yeah.
One of the most epic, improbable games, and I'm telling you this right now, I thought the Chiefs game was a lot of fun. I put that up there because I enjoyed it with my father. It was great.
Yeah.
But this was top three. I mean, apart from the Ray Lewis last dance game, like, seriously. We literally said it the other day. Or one of the shows. What else can they do? How can they top that? It's
yeah.
Like, really? I think, you know what the Ravens did? I think you have to check the Colts. Again, Indy's helmets. I'm trying to get it right here. You have to check some of their helmets because I think someone peeled off one of those horseshoe stickers and stuck it up somebody's rear end. Because I don't know how this team does it. I don't know how, when. But, bro. We were frustrated the whole game, as is everybody. I mean,
yeah.
You're like, really? Especially
was
how it started.
At the TV,
we all were
screaming.
We all lost our voices, not screaming on defense. It was more like screaming at the game, like
right.
Screaming at the players, screaming at what's going on, what's not doing right, what's going on, and they do it. You're down 25-9, and you're like, no, okay. Then they got 8 points. Okay, they got the touchdown 2 points. Okay, now they're down 8.
Right,
is this doable? You know, this is like our version of the Patriots 28-3 kind of deal. Like, I know it's not a Super Bowl.
Right.
But, you know what? I drove everybody home, being the nice guy I am, sober and all.
Yeah.
And one of our buddies went through the game, right? He pulled up a stat in the back seat. At the 12-minute mark in the fourth quarter when the Colts were up 25-9. They had a 98% chance of victory. It means the Ravens had a 2% chance of winning. You know what we kept repeating in the parking lot? They had no business winning that football game. Just
right.
Like we thought in Detroit. Even though, like, we talked about win to win,
right.
Lucky, good, things fall into place. But it's like you're sitting there and of course, we're waiting. Like, obviously, it's like, you know, 12 minutes. And it's like, all right. And we weren't thinking about leaving early. No words were uttered.
Right.
But we were thinking, like, I was even thinking, like, well, let's see what happens with this drive. Maybe like 2 minute warning, we'll start making our way downstairs. Like, obviously, if you know, we thinking they were gonna lose by double digits, right? And then they go down and score. Then you're like, and then they get the two. And then you're like, okay, there was a lot. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, the most insane, improbable. Wow! Like, and now it's like, stay tuned. This is 4 out of 5 games that the end of the game or the whole game insane was like. Do you realize that 3 of their 4 wins? I mean, even the Denver win, they were down 7-0. But,
yeah.
Like, obviously they won in style, but, like, that was more comfortable than most. But, like, a lot of stuff had to happen. Like, obviously the Raiders game, you know, they made the stop and then ultimately won. But, like,
right.
We made the stop against Mahomes when it seemed like they were about to kick the field goal and win. Like, come on. Like,
right.
Really? You know, 4th and 19, just when they're dead in order, they come alive. Sammy Watkins catches it and Tucker hits the crossbar. You're like, what just happened?
Right.
We talked about that reaction. Then this. I don't know what else this team can put us through, but being a Ravens fan is stressful, fun. I don't know what adjective you want, but, bro, I almost need some Gil's pizza at this point to fill me up because
right.
this team just leaves you deflated in a good way. But you're like, what else can they do? Wow. I mean, wow.
I mean, if you since we are, you know, face-to-face on this one, isn't Zoom, you see, I got some gray hairs in my beard now. They weren't there Monday morning. That was all from that game.
I believe it.
I mean, this was such a stressful game to watch. And like you said, the Ravens, I mean, they went for it. They won the game. They didn't they at the beginning of this, they didn't deserve to win that game. This was definitely not a game that you would think, like, oh, this is winnable. And both of you and I thought this was definitely a game that they could win, but they came out flat-footed. The offense just wasn't – you know what? I'm going to give Indy their credit. They did their homework on our defense and our offense. They figured this team out.
Just because
now.
You're 1-3, don't we need to discount them?
Right.
I mean, the Vikings were 1-3 and got the first win, albeit it was against Detroit, but it doesn't matter. You got to throw records out the door. It's the NFL. This isn't college football where Maryland goes up against Ohio State and loses by 50 points. Like, this is different. Like, it is the NFL for a reason.
Right.
And rightfully so. You're right. Credit to Indy, man. Like, Carson Wentz came out swinging.
Yeah. I mean, they knew to go after Anthony Averett over and over again.
Do you know what remind me of? Sitting in New England in 2014 in a playoff game, watching Brady pick apart Rashad Melvin.
Yeah.
That it was like, it was just like that all over again, like a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because there was reports this week. He was praised. Most improved player. You know, he can get the job done. And then you're like, you literally just wanted to laugh. It was a joke.
Last week he looked good.
Right.
Yeah.
But what happened? And they didn't even have their best weapon Indy comes back this week in T.Y. Hilton. Like, they didn't have – like, I'm literally sitting there, and this is well after the screen pass. This is when they were, like, up big and they're moving the ball. Ravens can't do anything. Granted, you got Mark Andrews, Marquise Brown, Lamar Jackson. I know we're down Gus Edwards. I know we're down J.K. Dobbins. And on defense, I know we're down Marcus Peters and other. I know we're down Ronnie Stanley. Like, you can name all these names.
Right.
But I'm like, this is the Ravens offense we're talking about. They can still move it. They can get it done. You know, each week you see the yards, you know, progressing and all that. And then you're like, okay, you know, when they got the ball first, 3-and-out. It's not the way you want to start the game.
Right.
And then up until that third down play, it was like, me as a fan in the stands, you knew this was going to be one of those games where, like, they have no chance. Because it was like, even though the Ravens went 3-and-out, first play, false start, crowd's rocking. Second play, throws over Jonathan Taylor, says incomplete. It's 3rd and 15, third down, we're all banging on chairs, everybody's standing in one accord. Like, you're like, yeah, this is going to be one of those nights.
Yeah.
And Taylor goes to the house, quiets us all, and you're like, great. The only thing I was thinking was like, well, they have all game to make that up 7-0. They've been down 7. They were down 7-0 right away to the Chiefs on the pick six. They got down 7-0 on the road against the Broncos in the second quarter because the whole first quarter. But, bro, this team, let's just start there. Now, credit to Indy because the Ravens blitzed. They were aggressive. You know, Wink Martindale, whole blitz.
Right.
Everybody blitzed. When, if you're looking at, because the way I was looking at the game, the touchdown came to me in the stadium. The Ravens blitz on the left side where I was looking, which is basically Carson Wentz's right side, his blind side, because he's right-handed.
Right.
And basically the play was perfect. They knew the blitz was probably going to come from there. He throws a screen pass where everybody's not. He goes up the field. It was just it was a perfect play call for the perfect counterattack to what the Ravens were doing. But I'm telling you what. How DeAndre Swift picked this team apart in Detroit, Jonathan Taylor did that. They cannot defend the screen pass, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, do you notice that at all?
Oh, absolutely I noticed
that. I'm glad you do, because it's a pet peeve of mine. Like, screen, I'm like, yelling, screen, tackle him, and he just really just goes right through. I mean, granted, there's less defenders there, but it's like 3rd and 15, I kind of like the blitz call, but I really don't at the same time because of that reason. Like,
right. You're
going to give up a big chunk play, and they need 15 yards. Perfect play call. Got to credit them. I mean, really, I would have done the same thing.
And they're going to have a hard time this coming Sunday.
Austin Eckler, I got to play against him. Oh, yeah. And put this way. And again, I don't want to jump ahead to the Chargers match
because
it's very important. But shout out to my dad, right? My dad, me and him playing fantasy football this weekend, he scored over 200 fantasy points last weekend. He has the trio of Austin Eckler, Herbert, and Mike Williams. Those players combined for nearly 100 points last week.
Wow.
Or Herbert had 50.
Yeah.
I think Mike Williams had like 40-something points, close to 50. And I think Eckler had like another 30, near 40. So, speaking of that, and like you said, you name drop Eckler, screen pass. You better – anybody's got Eckler licking their chops because I had to go against Jonathan Taylor and it was ugly. And I had to go against – I went against Mark Andrews down 30 and I lost. Mark Andrews scored 42 fantasy points. I mean, we're sprinkling it in there. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of bad. But I feel like the story here was two things. It was the Ravens' ineffective slow start on offense where they couldn't get it going. Like, we were screaming. My buddy, credit to Paul, man. He was screaming, throw the ball down the field. Like, I don't know what the Ravens were doing with these little ding and dunks, five yards, this and this. It wasn't working. The first two plays that they threw the ball down the field, and we're talking like downfield 20 yards plus, right? Lamar connecting. Mark Andrews caught the ball on the sidelines, which unfortunately still led to points. It was the field goal, but it wasn't the touchdown. Then the long touchdown to Marquise Brown. We're like, throw the ball down the field. This the offense moves when Lamar does stuff and when the receivers are and the tight ends are doing stuff. And these little ding and dunks aren't the Ravens. And I felt like it was a poorly executed game plan from the get-go from Roman and the offense. I don't know if they just started off slow, but the defense I felt like was the big story here. I mean the Colts. Just like how we are previewing the Chargers a little later, the Chargers-Browns game combined for, 1,000 yards of offense. So did the Ravens-Colts.
Right.
Or Indy. I mean, I don't care at this point, right?
Yeah.
But it's
did
like,
they have Colts on the scoreboard, or did they say Indy?
I can't remember.
Okay. I was curious.
I have to go back. I didn't pay attention to that. You know, that both teams were combined over 1,000 yards. I mean, we knew what the Ravens did. You know, 500 was insane. So there was a lot of good, and then there's a lot of bad. Like, this one is a really interesting game because, again, wins great, 4-1,
right.
Keeping pace. If you look at the AFC playoff race, I know I hate to do playoff pictures in week six, but it was put out there by the NFL. The Ravens really are right now the second seed in the playoffs AFC wise. Chargers are number one, so I don't want to discredit this game because there's a lot to dissect, and it was one of the marquee statement wins in Ravens history. But like setting up these wins early, whether they like we alluded to deserve the win or not. Still sets us up for good because they're 4-1. Whether you like it or not, they're a 4-1 football team. They're amongst the best in the league. Obviously, what's higher than that? 5-0?
You can only go one
game better.
They're only maybe one or two plays from being 5-0.
And there could be one or two plays from not.
Correct.
So that you can really – we can throw it either way. We were talking about that as well during the game a little bit with what voices we had left. But this
game – the Ravens definitely had an extra player out on that field, and that was Lady Luck, because there was when Tavon Young got that flag for the retaliation of the guy pushing his head into the ground.
And that's the things I don't see live at the stadium. Like,
right.
I didn't see the whole Doyle pushing him in the ground first, and I actually went back and watched the highlights, I record the games. Every time I go to a game, I record them. So I saw that. I know he had texted Harbaugh and apologized and is accountable and knows the situation, but heat of the moment, but you're right. You can't do that, but Doyle did a flopping job because there ain't no way Tavon Young shoved him that far.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, really? But as soon as I saw the Colts player flying, I knew the yellow laundry was coming because I was like, here we go. That's all I said. Someone go, what happened? I said, I don't know. I just saw a white white jersey flying, and that's all you need to see.
Yeah.
Put his hands up.
Yeah, I mean, I thought once that happened, like every single time I thought this game was over, the Ravens were able to come back from it. And Tavon Young, getting that flag, I figured, all right, well, that's the end of the game there. He just cost us the game. And then they had issues with their kickers. Makes you feel good to have Justin Tucker on this team because the Indy kicker, just he was hurt. Beginning of the game.
That was the next factor I actually brought up before the game. I think I got the alert before the game, hearing himself in warm-ups, right?
Right.
And I literally said, and I tried to go right on their depth chart and was like, do they ever have backup kicker active? Because they might be down a kicker, and that's huge.
That's huge.
So in the back of my mind, I kind of forgot about that when the whole miss happened and all that, but it was like, but what a play. I mean, there's so much to dissect in this game.
If Calais Campbell didn't get his big bear paw up there.
That was a crazy block.
Yeah.
And obviously, one of two things happened because I literally said it out loud in the stadium. When they lined up, I was like, we need to root for a miss or a block. And then when I saw him come through and he blocked it and we seen the ball block, we're all stood up and we're like, block it on. We're all going crazy. Like, it was insane. And it was crazy because I couldn't find the tweet, but someone tweeted out, 9 things had to go right for the Ravens to win that game, and all 9 happened. Like, it was like, missed field goal, a touchdown, a 2-point conversion, get the ball back, stop them. It was like all these things had to happen, win the coin toss or some sort of that. It just was insane. But, like, here's my beef with this, right? Before we get to all the good,
right.
I really want to focus on the bad and unpack that. We talked about defensive scheme. I don't know what it is, but it's like people who really follow the pulse of the team are always in one accord with that negative thing that we want to nitpick on.
Sure.
My buddy was nitpicking on Patrick Queen the whole game. He was standing up and, like, berating him verbally, like, you're not worth a first-round pick. You suck. Because he was getting blocked off the ball. Like he And we were saying, like, he's small. When we mean small, because when we say linebackers are small, Ray Lewis was alluded to as small, in
right.
air quotes. When I mean Patrick Queen is small, he's not built like the linebackers of old. Like, gone are those days. Like, you look at Ray Lewis as a rookie,
he's
a freaking man-child. Like, you look at Patrick Queen, he looks like a corner compared to what Ray Lewis used to look like. You know the pictures.
Right.
So, you know, Ray had the big pads and all, like, and the neck thingy, whatever that
but
thing
But you got to be fast in today's league.
You,
it's
and
all
again,
about
that,
speed.
That's the other side of the coin, right? You got to be fast to be covered because the game's changed.
Right.
This isn't the ground and pound, Jerome Bettis, AFC North. Like, this is, like, you got to cover these guys. But he was getting blocked off ball. But another thing was, like, I was a little felt embarrassed for the guys because, like, Jonathan Taylor took one of the another screen pass late in the game, and both him, Humphrey, and somebody else over pursued on the sideline, and then Jonathan Taylor cut it up in the middle of the field, and I'm like, you guys over pursued. Like, there was a lot of poor tackling, coverages. The Indy was having their way with this defense, it was uncharacteristic. Like, gave up too many big plays and yards. It's concerning for going forward. Obviously, everybody after the fact was, like, already scared of the Chargers game coming up because they're like, what do you think they're going to do? You know, kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, the Ravens have something special with what Lamar is doing and with Marquise Brown. You know, get credit to him, man. Like, you know, offensive woes aside, how about him learning from the mistakes in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
working with that soccer ball, always working, improving his craft. The dude has had two incredible games in a row.
Right.
And you have to credit not only that, but Mark Andrews finally got his first touchdowns of the year, two of them.
Yeah.
And the two-point conversions alike. But you have to feel for Mark Andrews. I think it came out that he lost
his grandmother
this week.
His grandmother passed away,
so,
I think, on Sunday.
Yeah, man, and tribute to her.
That's
game.
When he got the touchdown. Normally he'll do the rock, paper, scissors, but he took a
right.
knee. He took a knee.
I saw that. You know, condolences to the Andrews family, you know, out there and you know what they're going through, and I'm sorry to hear that news.
Yeah.
But he performed.
I'm sure he made his grandmother very proud.
Absolutely,
though.
He said he was a tribute to her. I mean, what a better tribute!
It
was an awesome game. So those guys stepped up big. Apart from everything having to go right for the Ravens and the whole horseshoe, you know, being lucky and all that. Lamar Jackson. No words. I mean, you heard a lot of the praise from the media. Undisputed Shannon Sharp, Skip Bayless, as we know. I think the word they were searching for, what was it? I can't remember the word. Was it sensational? That's the word. They were saying he was sensational Monday night. Wow. I mean, to do what he did to put the team on his back in the second half, and we're going to talk about some of the negatives there, too, with some of the things that happened, but remarkable in the young man.
Yeah.
I mean, he grew up. You know, now I'm going to pose you. We understand that he's being heavily criticized, and we can't figure out why, right? No matter what Patrick Mahomes has done, I feel like obviously this year, Mahomes deserves way more criticism than what Lamar should.
Right.
I don't care. What did you see in the young man on Monday night? Do you think he still should be criticized after that performance? Do you think one game absolves that? Have you seen progressing, or you think this is just like a flash in the pan and the game plan called for that because he had to put the game on his back? The running game was non-existent and all that. But what did you see from Lamar's wonderful performance on Monday night to lead us back in the second half? And overcome?
I mean, I saw an MVP quarterback right there. The guy definitely did put the team on his back. I will say this, I'm a little worried about how many times he has to do that because this offense really wasn't doing anything. And we saw that with RG3 in his rookie year, it was always he wanted to run the ball. He wanted to be the RG3 show. And I don't think Lamar is selfish like RG3 was, but I feel like there aren't enough talented people on this offense that Lamar is comfortable with. I know he's got his safety blankets in Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown, and that's who he's always going to go with. But the running game wasn't getting going, and we know how many people are hurt from the running back position. And we still have Ronnie Stanley out. We still have Nick Boyle. Remember Nick Boyle?
One of the best blocking tight ends in football.
He's not there.
Still there.
He's not there. And, you know, we have all these injuries. So I don't know if Lamar doesn't have faith in the people he's playing with to get it done. That's why he's putting it on his back. I think Lamar is definitely talented enough to do that, but how many times will he be able to do that? But before you go on with anything else, I did hear that, and about what can they criticize about him anymore, this, that, whatever. He's proven everybody wrong. Oh, Lamar can't throw. He's just a running back. Well, Lamar, you know, made all kinds of records this past game for the franchise. So, and Lamar saved the game with his arm. Without Lamar's arm strength, we would talk.
How,
we talk about a losing
how
effort.
How ironic was it? And I'm okay, and I'm certainly, I'm actually flabbergasted that we didn't get the record. How awesome and ironic at the same time is it that the Ravens didn't break the rushing record?
Right.
But it's okay because he literally just went off with a cannon with his arm.
Yeah.
It's like okay, all is forgiven. And at the same time, I kind of say, well, I'm not really mad that they didn't get the rushing record because they're even with Pittsburgh. So it's like they share the record.
Right.
So it's like no one can really say they beat it. They share it. So it ain't like they're second. They're tied for first. You just needed that one more game to beat them. And I'm not even mad at that point. And, and again, I know it's a record and a new means something. But what's remarkable about the record, though, it started the first day he took center.
Right.
So it's no coincidence that Lamar, the record, and that is synonymous with that. But to have the streak stop on a night where he broke a franchise passing record, like, I have no words. Like, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, if you'd have told me that was going to happen, nah. And I didn't even know this, bro. We're on our way because we were celebrating all that. I was like on people's shoulders. It was pandemonium in the stands, bro. You can only imagine. On the way down, they made the announcement over the loudspeakers, and it was on the Jumbotrons, the screens at the stadium. Said Lamar Jackson's performance tonight broke a Ravens franchise single game record in passing, and everybody's flipping out.
Yeah.
High fives everywhere, MVP chants, cheering with what voices we had left. It was ridiculous. I'm like, Lamar Jackson, let's repeat that.
Right.
Lamar Jackson, not Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson broke a single season or not single game passing record for the Ravens yardage wise.
Right.
Of all the times that Joe had all kinds of crazy games, 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Sure.
He had Steve Smith, Anquan Boldin. He had better weapons right now than Lamar has.
Absolutely.
Not to discredit Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown and the emerging, hopefully, Rashad Bateman. To see what Lamar did, 442, 4 touchdowns, 6 incompletions.
Yeah.
So of all the crying about the drops and he doesn't have a receiving core, his guys only dropped the ball 6 times. And I don't even know if it was drops. It could have been Lamar maybe throwing it out of bounds. I have to go back and look at those 6 incompletions.
Sure.
But, like, holy crap, that's remarkable. And,
yeah.
And to do it over 4. And you heard the stat. We all know the stats. He's the first quarterback in NFL history of all these play games and attempts to throw it at least 40 attempts and to have only 6 complete and 86% completion percentage, highest in NFL history.
Yeah.
And I look back on the record. Do you realize that the 442 he threw Monday night, it was a record set in 1996 by Vinny Testaverde, the first ever quarterback for the Ravens. It's lasted that long. Not even all the quarterbacks that the Ravens had, not to say that obviously we understand the Cleveland Browns have had more revolving at the door, but
right.
To understand that
Steve McNair, Kyle Bowler, Joe Flacco.
Right.
I mean, all
and Joe Flacco, dude, he's top 20 in NFL in passing. He's got nearly, 40,000 yards. And I mean, Joe ain't no slouch.
No,
I mean, Joe
not
Flacco
at all.
Gets all the respect that he deserves. I'm not sitting here bashing him. It's just like, I'm telling you right now, sing Lamar's praises from the rooftops. Like,
yeah.
And you probably saw my post. I will not stand for any more. And again, some of my friends have been consistent with the hate, if you want to call it, or the criticism from day one. And I respect that because, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, change their mind. No one's trying to sit here and change your minds. If you're still a critic of his, so be it.
Right.
But I will not stand for whether you're joking or serious, none of it. Like, I said it the other day. The only thing he has yet to do is win it all. Enough. Like, enough. Like, he led the league in touchdowns in 2019, passing touchdowns. He's got more all-purpose yards right now than Tom Brady. I just screenshotted and sent it to my friend right for the show. The dude, and it makes a compelling case because the MVP race is heating up. It's getting to the second quarter of the NFL season, and there's been some jargon about, like, and great discussions about anybody can be the MVP. I mean, Herbert, Allen, Dak Prescott,
no
Tom
MVP
Brady.
Right now.
There isn't.
Yeah.
But to have a player who is top five in passing and eighth in rushing, so you realize that. One player, I don't care what his position is, he could be a wide receiver for all care. If you have one single player who is top 10 in both rushing and passing, that's a sick weapon.
That is a dual threat.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous. And I posted the other day, he's got, you know, more rushing yards than Aaron Jones, and to get, like, some of the great running, you know, good and solid running backs in the league, and he's some of the great ones, and even in passing. You know, he's fifth in passing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Tom Brady's tops, which is insane. You know, 44 years old, and he's leading the league in passing. Who thought, right? Like, the dude don't slow down. But, like, to see what Lamar did and to have over 300 yards passing and three touchdowns in the second half, four total, remarkable. Now, to the bad side, because we can sing Lamar's praises all day long for a worthy performance on Monday Night Football for the ages.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this about Lamar
before
you go on and everything.
Sure.
The question you asked me was, does he deserve the criticism? Does he do that? Does he do this? I think that he's kind of proven everybody wrong, but until he wins that Super Bowl, I don't think everyone's going to shut up. But at the same time, I think Lamar can put this team on his back. He can take them to a win. He's proven that this week. He can play from behind. Everything that has been negative about Lamar, he has proven that he can do. But how many times he can do it moving forward, that's the only thing that worries me. And it's not Lamar's fault. It's the talent around him that worries me.
Right. And it also could be that's how talented Lamar is. He can do it with an insubordinate cast. Again, not to discredit the playmakers we have.
Yes.
Hollywood Brown's emerging. This is probably going to be his best year so far.
Terrible game 2 weeks ago.
We understand, and that can happen.
Yeah, and he figured out what was going on. He worked on it. He's looked fantastic the last
2 weeks.
And that's
all we ask of these players, I guess, as fans. When you do bad, work on it. He's been doing it, and since then, no issues.
Right.
Mark Andrews has been a slow start, emerged out of nowhere. And Lamar, it's almost like, can you pass for 500 and 600? Look at the stats. Lamar's passing yards have increased from week one to every game. Like, it's every game.
Yeah.
And to see them, it just was remarkable. But I really want to talk about some of the bad things, and you alluded to it about having faith in your guys. He's got to stop it with the fumbles. Like,
that's got to stop it. Hold on to it.
And again, it could be a true testament because we understand he's not a running back, right?
Right.
But the problem is – he holds it like a loaf of bread. The defenders know it. He's got to take care of the football.
Yeah.
The fumbles got taken care of since week one, and then now they're back. He didn't throw a pick, which is great, but keep those fumbles under control. Thank God that there was a four lateral on that. Yeah, I mean, it just had to happen, right? Another improbable thing that had to happen for the Ravens, right? But got to get them under control. And he almost did it again, and he was down on contact trying to score.
Yes.
Got to take care of the football, brother. I mean, we can sing your praises and passing all we want, and what you're doing is remarkable and top 10 in these categories. But, you know, then again, credits get like, well, you fumbled. I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, Mahomes fumbled and cost his team. They lost by 18. Go. Why don't you break Mahomes a little bit? Like, it ain't just Lamar, it's everybody.
Right.
Like, we can nitpick on Lamar's one fumble loss and one fumble recovered, one of one, but Patrick Mahomes did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Mahomes has one more turnover total than Lamar does all year. And they're 2-3, and we're 4-1, so,
right.
and we beat them head-to-head. So, again, and that's all I say is be have the same energy with everybody else. Don't just focus on number 8. You know, there's other quarterbacks out there that are just equally playing horrible and costing their team some wins and turnovers. But focus on our guy. Got to take care of the football. But to have a game like that, I mean, everybody, my phone blowing up, man. Like, people screaming, yelling, you know, leaving me voicemails. You got to be kidding me. Holy, bro. And to have that happen, it just was remarkable. Lamar Jackson, and this was put up on Monday Night Football, so you probably saw the graphic. My dad screenshot, so credit to him.
Yeah.
Lamar turns 25 on January 7th of next year. Most wins by a quarterback before age 25 in NFL history. Dan Marino, 34. Lamar Jackson, 34. Drew Bledsoe, 32.
Hmm.
Do you understand that Lamar Jackson has a regular season record of 34-8? The Ravens have only lost 8 games since he's taken over. He
That's
still has
crazy.
Single-digit losses. And I thought about this the other day, and I really want to cause you to think, right? We understand the success that Joe Flacco had, because I hear it all the time. Well, Joe Flacco won a playoff game in each of his first 4 years before the Super Bowl, and we get it. Like, every year that he attended the playoffs, they won at least that one game, if not two, and got to the title game and lost. We get it. Lamar Jackson's 1-3 in playoffs in 3 years. He's been to playoffs every single year under center. You can call it what it is, but obviously the records speak for itself. And the passing record Monday night, you know, since 96, it stood. You can certainly, and obviously with the NFL MVP, you can certainly solidify in 3 quick years, not even 3 years, 2 full seasons, and then partial year in 18, and then already 5 games in this year.
Right.
Lamar Jackson has easily eclipsed a successful run in the regular season by far than what Joe Flacco could. Now, obviously, Joe Flacco's still playing. He's a backup. He's a top 20 passing. Who knows where Lamar might be all said and done. But where I'm going with this is, let's say for the record, let's turn back time in 2018. And it's funny because Iverson bringing up the Chargers, our next opponent, even though it's different personnel. Let's say Lamar beat, I'm going to give this scenario in your mind. Let's say Lamar Jackson and the Ravens got their first play. He got his first playoff win. Let's say they did win that playoff game in 2018, but then lost the next week, 1-1.
Right.
Let's say in 2019, hate to say this because it would be a heartbreaker to get this close to the Super Bowl, especially at home, but let's say they did beat the Titans in the divisional game, but then lost in the title game at home. Okay, then you're 2-2. Then we understand Lamar got his first win against the Titans in the revenge game last year in the wild card game,
right,
but then lost to the Bills, and you're 3-3. No matter if he was 3-3 or 1-3, the outcome's still the same.
Right.
They didn't go anywhere. They didn't win at all. They got sent home packing early. So keep this in mind, and I like to get people thinking. Is 2 playoff wins that much of a difference in what he's doing? It doesn't matter. They're just 2 playoff wins. You can certainly say, Mark, I don't care if Joe Flacco marched his team to AFC title game every single year, but up until year 5, there was questions year 4. Can Joe get us the promised land?
Right.
Is this team built for that? Because they were like the butt of the joke, like the Eagles were in the early 2000s. How many NFC title games did the Philadelphia Eagles make till they finally made the Super Bowl against the Patriots and then lost that one?
Right.
And they could have won that. It was that butt of the joke. Like, they get there just close enough, but you can win all the playoff games you want, but until you win it all, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
So to me, 2 playoff wins doesn't rewrite Lamar's legacy. It gets him at 500 right now. If you go turn back time and get him, if you go like how Joe Flacco's path was, you win one in the first round and then you lose the next round, or you win one and then get there, it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at it this way. Even though Mahomes got to the Super Bowl back-to-back times, is Joe Flacco a better quarterback because he went there once and won it, and Mahomes actually lost one?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, it's a crazy path to go down there, but that's my point to get people thinking is, long story short of it all, for all Lamar's accomplished and keeps proving people wrong, 2 playoff wins or 1 more playoff win, it's not going to matter. Until he wins it all, that's what matters.
Right.
March your team down to the whole thing and win it all, and then we can talk. And that's my point is, for Lamar's sake, that's the only little thing he can do, win
right.
it all. Just like how James Ferrier of the Steelers, remember how he made fun of Joe Flacco? The Ravens never win a Super Bowl with Joe. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. So you can sit there and say the Ravens will never do this, but I want to get back to your point here about, like, Lamar carrying the team and can he do it all by himself. You know what it reminds me of? Rest in peace, his soul, Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
It's that Mamba mentality. It's kind of like, I'm going to take over the game.
Right.
How many times have you heard it, like, can that one player, single player, get it done? And when you think of those things, you think of, like, you know, I want to put Kobe Bryant in that conversation, better Michael Jordan, because you know why? What's synonymous with Jordan? Pippen.
Mm-hmm.
Rodman. The role players.
Right.
Like, when you think, Lou, when the Lakers won it last, do you remember any of the starting four that was with him? Do you remember any of the role players that was with him? No one does.
No.
I actually couldn't tell you. And Kobe was my favorite player apart from Iverson. I couldn't tell you who was. I had to go back and look on the starting lineup for the Lakers at that point. But you know who the role players were. There was other people getting it done. You always say, you know, Batman and Robin, Jordan and Pippen. Like, there was that guy. I know the first stint with the Lakers, it was Kobe and Shaq, but then obviously Kobe finally carried a back team on his back, and we understand the legacy wrote 80 points in one game or 81 points in one game. He won it all against the Celtics with that team. You know, this is what it reminds me of. It's when MVP shine, it's like, bring it on.
Right.
Let me do it all. I have to, because that is a true MVP. And me and Akeem touched on this on NFL Live. In terms of true value to their team, there's no comparison, as she said. Lamar Jackson's value, we talked about it. Top 5, he's top 10 in rushing and passing. Top 5 in passing, 8th in rushing. And you take him, he counted for 500 yards of the, what, 520 or whatever, 530 that we gained.
Right.
I mean, he threw for 422. The dude's a bona fide star, and apart from two less touchdowns, he's outpacing his MVP season 19 with yards and completion percentage. So, and rush yards, I believe. So, delayed the rest. It's incredible what the young man's doing. It was remarkable to see. And for, and again, it's fell on the notion. Lamar can't, when the team gets down, they get shaky. No, they didn't. They came back down 19. And I love the naysayers. But they had a blocked field goal, they missed field goal. So what? You know, so what?
Yeah.
You know, no.
Doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Just,
yeah, Dom Fredo. Winning's winning. And it doesn't matter how you get there. The plays had to be made.
Right.
And does that mean that you're going to go back and look at the Bengals and Packers game and say, like, well, neither team should have won because they were missing all the – I mean, they missed, like, six field goals combined.
That's
and
right.
Like, things happen. Like, you know, just things happen.
Yeah.
And to discredit what Lamar did, it's really disrespectful, man. And, you know – it's remarkable, and to have him have a Ravens single game passing record is insane. And it'll never, right now it'll never be taken until somebody else comes along.
He could
along
set
and tries
a new record this week. He could
again. Yeah,
yeah.
You just don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the X factor and the excitement factor that he brings.
Right.
It's like you don't know what can happen next, and I know what fans are talking about. Right. Until we get to this matchup, a lot of fans were like, we missed 2019. We missed when we were up big in the fourth quarter and Lamar sitting on the sideline chilling and he's okay. And, you know, the sunglasses
right.
on the sideline and him cutting up and all that. And we missed that, right? You know, we're tired of these games. But here's my frustration with this team, though. How they can only continue to be lucky for so long.
Yeah.
Is without taking out the luck factor, do you think that this is a good football team? Do you think they can get it done, or do you think they because it's like one or two games, I'll give you that, like the 2012 games, right?
Yeah.
2012 run for the Super Bowl. They had the 4th-and-29 play, which
right.
obviously is the Chargers folklore. Then you had the Mile High Miracle, but apart from that, there wasn't any moments where you're like, oh, like, it was like miracles.
Right.
Like, I mean, the Cowboys game in that year, it was back and forth, and they missed a field goal at the end, but it was like, you know, this is 4 out of 5 weeks where you're just like, jeez, dude. Like,
yeah.
Epic. It's like any – you could pick any of their four wins and any of them could be game of the week or game of the year. Like, obviously, this one was ridiculous enough. You know, that's my point is, do you think taking out the luck and looking at the shell and the hardcore of this team, you know, inside and out, do you think that they could do what they did in Denver – and be down 7 and then reel 23 straight points and actually win by 2 touchdowns and take it to a team? Or do you think that they still need the luck to run out? Because at some point, luck is going to run out, whether it's this week or the end of the year. They can't keep doing that, bro. They can't.
No, they can't.
No.
And
that's what's it's concerning to me.
Yes, that's a big concern as well. I think there is plenty of talent on this team, but is there enough to sustain this for 17 weeks? I don't know. I mean, I know I'm tired just watching the games. These guys have to be tired playing the games.
It's drama, to say the least.
It's a lot of drama.
It's probably better than anything I'm watching on Netflix or TV or anything right
yeah.
now, I'll tell you that, bro.
But looking forward to this Sunday, this probably is going to be their biggest test yet. And we keep saying that week after week.
I mean, we said in week two, oh, it's the Chiefs, and then they beat them.
Yeah, but
yeah.
This one coming up, I think, again, we're going to have to utilize Lamar's arm. I don't think that the running game is going to be there against the Chargers' defense. And our defense, I mean, from what we saw just a couple days ago, I don't know if they have what it takes to have the Chargers quarterback, you know, backed up. I feel as if this quarterback is a really good quarterback. He can really, you know, show off what he can do, and he can probably figure out this defense because Carson Wentz gave him a blueprint of how to pick our Ravens defense apart.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the blueprint's right there, and you know, this is no joke coming in here, man. I mean, we're finally get a 1 o'clock normal kickoff. It seems like in ages, because I mean, apart from the Lions game, I felt like that was the only one, right?
But this is probably the game everybody should be watching this week.
And that's the issue. And someone was asking the media about like, can the NFL flex it? They can't. There were some rules there. They can't do it. And it is sad because you have two 4-1 teams right now as it stands in the AFC playoff race after 5 weeks, if you really want to entertain that, this is number one and number two going at it. This is two quarterbacks who are in MVP discussion coming into it right now.
Right.
Herbert playing out of his mind. Both teams are riding winning streaks. Something's going to give on Sunday. Somebody's going to be coming out 4-2, 5-1. It's going to be awesome. But also, given with the Ravens' history in the last couple weeks and with the cardiac games and, you know, letting off big plays and big chunks, you know, I'm really concerned about Sunday. I mean, it's a big test. I'm excited. And I still don't know how the Ravens are favored by 3 points.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess because they're home?
It could be, but I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't put my stock in the spreads unless you're betting or looking at pick 'em pools. But to me, it's just odd because we've seen how easily the Colts move the ball against this defense, and you're coming 6 days later, albeit you're still home. This is the second game of a four-game home stretch with a bye week, so you're really home 5 weeks with a short flight down to Florida at the end of it. I just don't see what the Ravens' game plan is for slowing this offense down.
Yeah.
Now, credit, this same defensive unit, I feel like with the same personnel because I feel like we've had the same injury since week one, it feels like. They did stop Tyreek Hill. I know that it was a 1-2 punch because it's either stop Tyreek Hill or Kelce. You couldn't do both because you had to count for Mahomes can do.
Right.
They didn't really let Tyreek Hill get the big plays in week two. Even though Kelce killed him, they still overcome and win the game. They scored enough points. The Ravens are going to have to do a blueprint like they did against their division or the Chargers division rival, the Chiefs. And they're going to have to do a blueprint just like the game, just how the Browns just played against them on Sunday, which was incredible. And incredibly enough, it shows you how tough the Chargers are. The Browns, it was another insane record that was broken. I don't even know what the games were. The Browns were like so much an O. It wasn't even the Browns. It was teams in the NFL. If you score 40 points in the NFL and turn the ball over 0 times, you were like 400-0 or something stupid like that.
Right.
And the Browns had the one loss. So you're telling me the Browns pretty much played flawless football, score 42 points, and lose.
Yeah.
Like, the same team just did that to our division rival, which was exciting because it put us in first place by game with the game. And same thing happened to Indy. Indy was 120-0 or something when leading by 16 points in fourth quarter and lost. So it's just things are crazy in the NFL, man. But, you know, to credit the Chargers, you know, with their young head coach and what they're doing, man. Herbert's one of my favorite up-and-coming stars. Got him on a couple fantasy teams. My fantasy teams are Herbert and Ernie, by the way. I mean, I love
nice.
The guy. Well, last year it was Lamar's Wild Dogs for the dog.
Right.
So I changed it up to Herbert and Ernie. And
I like that.
You like that?
I like that.
But yeah. I only have Herbert in one league.
Okay.
See, the people, it's funny, the people's rule is like, well, you can't mention the player's name unless you actually have him on your team. I'm like, where is that in the fantasy rule book? Because
right.
I'm going to name my team whatever I want. But, yeah, I came up with Herbert and Ernie. Was
like
something
that
came to me, so, yeah. But Herbert and company is going to provide a handful with what they can do. And we're not even getting even to talk about Keenan Allen because it seems like Mike Williams is the guy to talk about for their offense.
Yeah.
And Eckler, dude, he's a dual threat running back and receiving threat. Herbert's playing out of his mind. Dude, this is going to be one for the ages, and this is going to be that kind of that measuring stick test. You thought that these last games were it. This is it. You know, it's kind of like this is more important than the Chiefs game was.
Right.
Because it's like you've seen how – I mean, the Chargers are 4-1 in that division. Chiefs are 2-3.
Yeah.
Like, who would have thought that was coming?
Yeah.
What do you see on Sunday, man? What'd you see?
Well, looking on the injury report for – at least this was on Wednesday. Pernell McPhee, Ronnie Stanley, Sammy Watkins, Deshaun Elliott, Geno Stone, and
okay.
Alexandro Villanueva did not participate. Villanueva, Elliott, and Stone were limited participation. So, could be injuries. You know, Deshaun Elliott's still coming back from a concussion. But I don't know. This Sunday, how do you bet against this team now? I mean, that's the thing, is that do I think that this game, the Ravens are going to come away with a win? My head says no. My gut says yes, because how do you bet against this team? They come out of nowhere with these wins. They go for it. Like we've said every week, they go for it. They know what they're doing. They can win this game 100%. But will the defense be able to stand on its head and stop this young quarterback? I don't know. I can see the Chargers coming in. I can see them winning this game. But at the last second, I can see the Ravens marching down the field and getting that last-minute win. So I don't know. This really is a coin toss, but I would probably say Chargers are winning. You know, if my mind's made up, 60-40, the Ravens win. Like 60%, okay. I think Chargers win. 40%, I think the Ravens win.
I mean, that's a sensible way of looking at it. I'm not going to sit here by design and say, okay, well, looking how the defense have played, and even though we know the offense can keep up, you can't really say it's going to be a blowout in the Chargers' favor, because it's like, yeah, the defense was so bad Monday night, but yeah. It's like, but you've seen what the Ravens, it's like now, it's like the Ravens are far more dangerous than they ever were, because it's like that. It's like in 5 weeks, we went from running it almost 500 yards in two games to now throwing it for 400 yards in a game and, like, yeah. running it for, like, 50. It's like the tide shifted. So now, it's really, it's almost like you can't predict it. You're right. Not with, like, the lucky wins at the end, but it's like,
yeah.
It's almost like, again, how do you defend the Ravens offensively? Because now we know Lamar and company constructs the field and you know what they can do. It's like, all right, you stack the box, but then I know they have some retreads at running backs, and it's a true statement. I mean, obviously, you know, they weren't in the league, and they had to be pulled off out of free agency, and they weren't on a team before, and they were cut. But you know, but that was, we were talking about that earlier, and it was like, you know, how the Ravens, after week two, were like near 500. They were like 400-something yards rushing. The next closest team was in the 300 range. It was the Eagles. And then we were talking how, like, was the Peters – injury worse than the Dobbins and Gus, because the Ravens don't seem like they're missing a beat running it. But now it's like teams are stopping the run, snuffing that out, Lamar included. And Lamar's like, fine, you're going to do that? You, I'm going to throw it all over the place.
Right.
Now it's like the Chargers now got to be like, okay, well, after he just did that, what do? Do we stack the box at 8? And even though it's Latavius Murray company leading the charge, and Tyson Williams and stuff, it's like, do you stack the box and dare on the running in? Or do you, like, it's almost like, again, like, I would hate to have that job to prepare for that, because now seeing how the tide has shifted in 5 weeks, you go from a rushing identity for they were tops in rushing for all that time. Now it's like, psh, they're making a statement now.
Yeah.
And Lamar's, he's top five in passing. He's got over 1,500 yards passing now. He's on pace for, if you keep that up, 5,000 yards. It's crazy. So, but then you look at the defensively for the Ravens, right? Couldn't stop the Colts with their personnel, and then you bring these guys coming into town, you know Herbert, Eckler, Jackson, you know, Justin Jackson, a backup, you know, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. You look at that team, and you're like, well, if the Colts could have almost about 500 yards of offense, what do you think the Chargers are going to do?
Right.
And they just had 500 yards against the Browns on Sunday. You're like, the Chargers, after probably watching the Ravens' defensive performance, are like, yeah, man, and the old adage is, hey, if you got him in fantasy, better start the Chargers, guys, because they're going to put up some points.
Yeah.
It's, and you're right. I'm with you. It's like, what do? You kind of want to, like, lean the Ravens' way with the Magic and their home. We're all going to be there. It's going to be fired up as usual. You got the home crowd. But then it's like, but then you look at defensive performance and, like, can they get it done? I'm going to give them a notion they don't. I think the Chargers got too much firepower.
Yeah.
And, again, until the Ravens prove me wrong, I kind of called them out the other time. Remember, I was like, how they teetered with the win against the Chargers and they went to Denver. Remember how me and you were at odds? You thought the Ravens get it done, which you're right. And I'm thinking, like, I don't know, dude. Like, after the, you know, after how they, you know, it was
right.
Like they let up all those points and it was, I don't know. And then they went and just shut them down. I was like, okay. Like, it's kind of like, I always say, I go with the notion, you're good as your last game. I'm not looking at what they did in Detroit. I'm not looking at what they did against the Chiefs. I'm not looking back on Monday night eons ago. I'm looking at Monday Night Football at home. You let Carson Wentz and guys run all over the field. You put 25 punts up. Ravens couldn't really, and they start off slow. And that's another thing. Look, 2019, how many times in that 14-2 record, right, did they get off to that fast start?
Right.
Remember the Rams Monday night game? Right down the field and score. Get the ball back right down the field and score, and they're up 14-0 before you knew it.
Right.
And it sucked because they were up 14. We were sitting there watching the game together. They were up 14-0 in Las Vegas for you knew it. And you're like, psh, this is going to be a blowout, boys. Like,
right.
Yeah. And then it stopped. Like, long days, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because they have those injuries, but I want this team to start out quick on offense. None of this three and out, finding your legs, and like,
yeah.
Well, let's. It reminds me of a boxing match. If you guys watch the Tyson Fury Wilder fight, it's kind of like any boxing match, right? Boxing bout. You get in there, and you ain't just going like a UFC fight where you go in and flying knees and knocking them out. It's you're juking and jiving, and you're finding your way. You're feeling each other out. And it's like the Ravens, I'm like, And it's like when they're throwing all about in the field, every fan in the stands, every fan at home, every fan on social media, well, where was that the whole game?
Right.
It's like it's just like how it was in Detroit. Like, you're letting the team hang around. I'm like, oh, now you want to play ball. Like,
right.
Like, I just want this team to start out quick because you're going to have to, because I feel like Chargers are going to right down take that first possession for a touchdown. I can see it in my mind.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tall order. I feel like the Ravens are going to be like the Browns. They're going to lose in a shootout, fall short.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, and I'm okay with that. And I would be okay with a good win or a good loss if the Ravens just, like play like the Browns just did last week on Chargers.
Right.
Like, hey, score 30, 40 points, don't turn the ball over, and the other team just outdoled you. Like, like, yeah, tip your hats off. We did everything we could.
Right.
Like, you know, the thing, we just didn't score more points than they did. Like, you know, what else can you do? I mean, you look at the Browns stats, it's insane. You know, there was 89 total points scored, 1,000 yards total combined. I don't know if the Chargers turned it over, but we know the Browns didn't, and they lost. So it's like, if you're a Browns fan, you're like, can't really get – I mean, I don't know what they felt about the loss, but it's like, I feel like they can't get mad at that. If that was the Ravens, I'd be like, wow, like, that was a crazy game. Sucks we lost, but – jeez,
yeah.
Like, what could we be doing? We had to score 50. Like, you know, that's just how I see this game going. And I don't think it's going to be a blowout because we know what the Ravens are capable of on offense. But I feel like, dude, I feel like the defense, until they prove,
yeah.
Dude, they need to get it together, man.
The defense
and
is
Everett
very
included.
Suspect.
And it isn't just Everett. It's Patrick Heen was called out. Mike Martindale, or I think it was Wink, or John Harbaugh alluded to, like you have to get better. Like, you know, I think Wink Martindale said he's just doing too much. He's got to stop doing everybody's job and just worry about doing your job.
Right.
Just how Bill Belichick always, you hear that old saying, do your job. Like, just do your role. Don't try to over pursue. Don't try to do this guy's thing. Everybody does their role, and that's a good football team, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be, it's not going to be a bloodbath, but I think it's going to be quite interesting. But, bro, if we're coming out on the other side of this and they somehow take it to the Chargers, now you're talking Ravens AFC elitist.
That's true.
After 6 weeks, because and they don't pay the Bills on the schedule, but, and I know they don't play their all North foes until later, but I'm like, you just dispelled the Chargers and they're sputtering. You just took it to the 4-1 Chargers, now you're 5-1 and won 5 games straight. You're like, here we go. And
yeah.
If Lamar balls out again, it puts up more numbers and adds to that. It's going to be interesting, bro. And I'm like, I can't wait. Like, who would have thought that this week six game in week six would be this important and this fun at this point?
I didn't see that coming.
No, none of us
not
did.
Not at all. But anyway, I think we're both saying the Chargers can sneak away with this one. It can be a win, but I think both of us are saying the Ravens, potentially, they could sneak away with it as well.
You said 60-40. I don't think it's a coin flip. You're right. I think both teams mirror each other.
Yeah.
Without the Dobbins injury, Dobbins is just like Eckler. Like, small, catch back. You know, both teams, you know, have young, great quarterbacks
who
are going to be awesome for a while. You know, John Harbaugh's been a staple in this league for a long, long time. You got the new head coach out in L.A. Awesome. It's going to be great to see, man. I'm looking forward to this matchup big time, and it's going to be good. So I'm calling the Chargers going to win a high-scoring shootout, close one. 37-34, I'm calling the Chargers to win, but we're going to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Gotta hope the defense, the keys of the game are very simple. Defense has to get in their zones and play solid and stay true and don't give up those big plays, and especially big chunks, especially after with the Ravens. The Ravens are going to score. Don't let them score quickly. And not only that, but what was killing us against the Indy was Indy was actually taking, like, I looked up at the clock at one point, and I'm like, we were down, what, 2 scores?
Right.
And the Ravens were actually even with them in time possession. I'm like, how is that? Because I felt like I was getting frustrated because I think Indy had the ball for the whole first quarter.
So yeah,
like,
it felt
I
like
was
it.
Mad.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you're taking, and that was a good equalizer because you're taking away the Martians. It's like how we always joke, like, oh, the best way to beat Brady Mahomes, keep on sidelines. Well, hey, we got our own superstar in Lamar Jackson now, and people are taking notice, and it's going to be tough, so see how it goes, bro. It's going to be awesome.
Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
We have covered anything. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast.
Google Podcast, Spotify, Facebook, YouTube, all over the place. All we ask in return is if you please spread the word about the show, write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much for an awesome show as always. It's so much fun to watch this team, isn't it?
It's crazy.
What you might think happened next against the Chargers, I have no idea. Let's hope it's a clean win. I mean, obviously we predict the loss. I mean, even if it's a loss for the Ravens, let's hope it's like drama-free and clean, you know? None of this last-second drama, no Hail Marys, no hope for a missed field goal or make field goal. But, hey, that is the theater and drama of the NFL. It's unscripted, and this is why we watch every week, and this is why we root hard, because it's awesome. How awesome was Monday night, everybody? It was, wow. I mean, we're going to talk about this one for a while. I know there's games to cover this year and more games to be played, but this Monday night football game will go down in Ravens history as one for the ages, as always, man. Just when you think their first home game can top it, they get a second primetime billing, and they top that one. So it's like, okay. But now, we get to see something really crazy in Baltimore for once at a home game. Daylight.
Daylight.
Maybe some sunshine. I don't know what that's like, but I'm ready for it, no matter what, and I hope everybody's ready for it, too. Chargers are going to bring it. Ravens got to bring it. We got Lamar Jackson, the X Factor. What will he do next? And, man, this young up-and-coming Chargers team is going to provide all the necessary headaches for the Ravens in this bout. It's going to be awesome for a good early-season AFC title bout for the supremacy right now in the AFC playoff race after 6 weeks. So we're going to see how it shakes out. Everybody get to the bank, root hard. Everybody get home, root hard as well. It's going to be another installment of what is going to happen next with the Baltimore Ravens. And it's how the season's going to go. It's 2021, and that's the billing as we know it. And that's the theme around here. But everybody, let's get ready for this Chargers team from L.A. coming to Baltimore. It's going to be awesome. Baltimore Ravens, Flock, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.